Quite obvious to many people, if not most people in the world today, that not only America, but the whole wide world, all the nations of the world are facing irreversible problems that they cannot solve. How many would agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said it. If you want to turn over to Luke 21, verse 25 for just a moment. Jesus said, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." That word perplexity in the Greek, number 640, coming from the root word number 639, means in a state of quandary. In other words, and it says these four words or five words in your Greek concordance. Perplexity means to have no way out. That's what it meant in the Greek. No way out. And I believe, along with many others, and I suppose all of you tonight, that we have come to that place.
Amen.
In the history of the world.
Amen.
There is no longer any way out.
Yes.
Look at the problems that the world is facing today. And they can't seem to handle them.
Right.
Even our own governor, Lee Dreyfus, is trying to cut the budget. He's been pleading with different institutions to help him cut the budget. And if he cuts at the hospitals, they complain and say, "Oh no, we can't, you can't cut us." And if he says something else, "Oh no, not us, everybody else, not us. Cut somebody else out, but don't cut us out."
Yeah.
Well, it has come to a place that there is no way out. Perplexity of nations. Some world leaders, renowned scientists, and honest historians would agree with that. And say that we have now come to the end. There is no way out. Do you know what one of our Solons in Washington, D.C. said even a couple of years ago? He said, "I'm throwing in the towel. I'm going to take my money. I'm going to live it up. Because it's all over. There is no reverse."
Right.
We've gone too far. Well, that makes me want to shout and dance. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Because you and I know, and it should make you want to shout too and dance. Praise the Lord. And if you want time out, raise your hands. We'll get up and dance.
Praise God. Amen.
When this world says there is no way out and everything looks dreary and dark and ominous, yet we as Christians, we that have been born again by the Spirit of God, we that have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, we that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have had the sign of other tongues, we that are truly born again, we know that though the world says there is no way out, that there is a way out, and that way out is up. Amen. And the Bible says that we which are alive and remain shall join the dead, and we shall go up together.
Amen.
There is a way out.
Amen.
And it is
Amen.
Up. Praise the Lord. Like I said before, somebody said the outlook is dreary, but the uplook is very bright. So we need to keep looking up. Amen. Now let's read our text tonight in Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. We read in this passage of Scripture where Jesus reminded the people that were listening to him of the flood. He told them that they were wicked in that day, and God sent a flood and destroyed them all. And then he went on and reminded them of another wicked generation. He said, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Lot, that was the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. They ate and drank and bought and sold and planted and builded. He said, but God destroyed them with fire and brimstone from heaven. Then he went on, in my mind, and let me put it this way. After he warned of the flood, or reminded them of the flood, after he reminded them of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, then he said, in my words, and it's going to happen again. And it's going to happen again just as certainly as it has happened before. He said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The saved will be saved eternally, and the lost will be lost eternally. There will be no reprieves then. There will be no changes then. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that judgment is eternal. Once we are judged, that is it. Signed, sealed, and delivered, period, forever and ever, throughout eternity, without end. No change. Eternal judgment. Then, after reminding us of the flood, after reminding us of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then after telling us that it's going to happen again, he issues this three-word warning. Remember Lot's wife. Oh, my people, remember Lot's wife. Amen. Why remember Lot's wife? She was a almost unknown figure in history. There is no beginning to her history. There is no middle to her history. Just a fearful, awful, horrid end. That's all we hear. We hear about her at the end of her life. Just before the end of her life. Remember Lot's wife. What all would the Lord have us remember about Lot's wife? Maybe we should read the story again in Genesis. I preached from this chapter before, but I never preached this message. Where is it? Genesis 19? Genesis chapter 19. Remember, Abraham had prayed for that wicked city. And he said, if there are 50 righteous there, will you spare the city? And he went all the way down to 10. And the Lord said he would spare it, but he could not even find 10 righteous people there. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and they came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the cry of America, the sins of America, the sins of the world are waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord is going to send his angels. He's going to come. He's going to destroy this world. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When Lot warned them of impending judgment, those sons-in-law of his thought he was a fanatic, thought he was going crazy. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You're making sport of us. You're having fun with us. You're playing games with us. No such thing has ever happened in our lives, and no such thing is going to happen. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife. Your sons-in-law won't go. Now take your wife and your two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men, the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, that's Lot's wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. Oh, how the Lord has tried to show his mercy to us. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee into unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. And isn't it good to know that God is not going to destroy this world until his righteous people are called out of here? Praise the Lord. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and them and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him. She wasn't walking step in step with him. She was behind him. And she turned around and looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Remember Lot's wife. What would the Lord have us remember about Lot's wife tonight? I think there are some positive things about Lot's wife that God would call us to remember tonight. And I also think there are some negative things that God would remind us to remember about Lot's wife tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's consider some of her advantages. Do you know that Lot's wife had a tremendous amount of advantages? Yeah. Even in the city of Sodom? And do you know that you and I have a tremendous amount of advantages tonight, even in a sinful world?
Amen.
Amen. Hear me now. We just read the passage in Luke 19 that tells us the story of Lot's wife. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. I think we could say truly tonight, remember that Lot's wife was called. She was called. The angel said, Lot, go call your wife. Go get your wife. Stir your wife. We got to get your wife out of here if she's going to be saved, because God is going to send fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities around here and all the plain, and he's going to destroy it all. Get out! She had a call. How many of us have received a call tonight? The Bible says many are called and few are chosen. Do you know what that means? Many are called. That means everybody in the world is called. That's exactly what it means tonight. Because Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says over and over again, whosoever will may come. You and I have the advantage tonight of being called. We have been called by the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, not only have we been called, but we have been warned. Lot's wife was warned. The angel told Lot, tell her that destruction is coming. Get up, get out of here. Destruction is surely coming. And you and I have been warned today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8 says that Jesus is coming again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you did come to an altar at one time, but are you at that altar today? Where are you today? You've received the call and you have received the warning. Doesn't the Bible tell us in Revelation 21:8 that the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and all liars and so forth shall have their part in the lake of fire? It was fire and brimstone that fell from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus is coming in flaming fire. And the Bible says that there is a belching, yawning chasm called the lake of fire that is just waiting to receive those that did not heed the call and that disobeyed God and would not heed the warning. She had a third advantage that I think is just absolutely tremendous. And that advantage is one that you and I may not be aware of tonight, but we have experienced over and over again. The Bible tells us in that passage in Genesis 19 that the angel of the Lord stretched forth his hand and he took Lot and he took Lot's wife. Two angels. They took Lot. They took Lot's wife and they took Lot's two daughters by the hand and led them out of Sodom. Oh, what does the Bible tell us today about the angels? Hebrews 1:14, that book that I love so much, tells us that the angels are ministering spirits
sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Just think, she was called to be an heir of salvation. Lot was called, the daughters were called, and Lot's wife was called to be an heir of salvation. And God sent forth his angels to take them by the hand and lead them out of the city of sin. I'd like to say something tonight. The angel of the Lord awaits to help and to take any one of His, God's people by the hand and lead them to safety.
Yeah.
Any time and every time that they are in any kind of trouble.
Praise.
For the Bible says God is faithful and He will not allow you to be tested above that you are able, but He'll send an angel if need be to take you by the hand and pull you. Out of sin.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
I don't teach the doctrine of once saved, always saved the way that some people do. I do teach that that's how easy it is to be saved if we'll just keep our hand in His.
Amen.
But I'll also go further tonight and teach that Lot's wife had her hand in the angel's hand. And obviously, evidently, somewhere along the line, she let go of the hand of God.
Amen.
And decided to look back.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
What an advantage. Amen. What an advantage. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and we've been called by Jesus to be His sheep. We hear His voice, we follow Him. He takes us in our arms, and sometimes we have people like Lot's wife that will shrug themselves loose, jump to the ground, and run away. The Lord graciously, mercifully sends His angel to take us by the hand and lead us to safety out of this sinful world with all of its temptations and sinful habits. And sometimes some people don't even respect God for that. And they'll shake themselves loose. Let go of me, angel! Let go of me! I'm going to do my thing! May God have mercy.
Amen.
She had another advantage. Do you know that she did not burn in Sodom? She turned to a pillar of salt somewhere between Sodom and the mountain of safety. She died somewhere between Sodom and safety. And how many people are out there wandering about in the wilderness today? Oh, like the Egyptians, they have come out of it. Or like the Israelites, they have come out of Egypt. But they have not entered into Canaan land.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Where everything is luscious. Everything is healthy. Everything is good.
Amen.
Where God wants us to go. It's not enough. It's not enough just to be delivered from Egypt. You've got to enter in. That's why the book of Hebrews warns us and says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Amen.
That's why the book of Hebrews says, let us go on, therefore, unto perfection. We cannot stop. My son-in-law, Clayton Steinauer, gave the illustration that a Christian is like one that is climbing a down escalator. The escalator is going down and you are going up. You've got to keep on the move to go up. If you stand still, you go backwards.
Right. Amen.
Lot's wife, already out of Sodom, the city was burning behind her and safety was in view. Can you imagine that? Billy Graham made the statement, I would rather be a mile from hell and headed for heaven than a mile from heaven headed for hell. That's good. That's good. Oh, we can come to church and we can get so close to God and go right outside and head the wrong direction.
Amen.
We've got to keep pressing on. We are in a race. We are in a battle tonight. We've got to keep on fighting, 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 running, running, running. The Bible says we're running a race tonight. We can't quit. We can't stop.
Hallelujah.
I think that we have had so many advantages that if any of us miss heaven, none of us will be able to point an accusing finger at the Lamb of God and say it was your fault.
Amen. Amen.
What then hindered Lot's wife? Do you remember reading that she had some sons-in-law? Do you remember reading that they mocked Lot when he said, "Get out of here! God's going to destroy this place." I wonder if she thought, I don't know this, I'm just wondering. You know, the Bible is a very condensed book. Could it be that Lot's wife began to think, my husband says God's going to destroy this place. She looks around at a beautiful home, all beautiful drapes, beautiful furnishings. And she says, I don't know if I want to leave. I wonder if Lot's getting a little old. He says that God's going to destroy this city and the cities about here. Now my sons-in-law, they're well educated. And they say that Lot's getting a little fanatical, that he's making sport of us here. I wonder if Lot is right or if my sons-in-law are right. Let me tell you something tonight. If you are ever in that quandary, if you are ever in that valley of opinion, you listen to the man that is righteous. Don't listen to the sinner. Don't listen to the man who's got his foot in the world. He'll lead you to hell every time. But you know what it is today? It's godly men. It's men that are preaching truth that are being scoffed and laughed at today. It's the Bible, the book among books, that is being ridiculed.
Amen. Yeah.
Right, men are making sport of this book. Why then should I listen to what this world has to tell me when God is telling me right here, remember Lot's wife. If I'm going to remember Lot's wife, I'm going to have to go back to Genesis 19 and read the short history of Lot's wife. Be careful who you communicate with. Be careful who you have fellowship with. You know that if you take a bushel of good tomatoes and put a rotten one in the middle, those good tomatoes will not make that rotten one good, but that rotten tomato will make the tomatoes around it rotten. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. What fellowship hath light with darkness? There is no such thing as a Christian having unnecessary fellowship with this world. The only fellowship that you and I as born again Christians ought to have with this world is when we are witnessing to them, telling them about Jesus Christ, or obligated to work with them. If you have people over to your house to play a game of cards or to go roller skating or dancing with or to watch TV together with, brother, you're already in trouble.
Yeah. Amen.
If you're calling people to your house for any other reason than presenting this precious book to them, I said outside of working, Paul said, how can you separate yourself from the fornicators of this world unless you're taken out of the world? You got to work with them. That's obvious. I'm talking about unnecessary fellowship with the world. That's why the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's why the Bible teaches that Christians should marry Christians. A Christian should never marry a non-Christian. The Israelites never sent their children to Egypt to play with the Egyptian kids.
Right. Amen.
God said it then, He says it today. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my sons and daughters.
Amen.
If that sounds hard tonight, your problem is you haven't read the whole book.
Praise the Lord.
Because it's in here. Amen. How many know it's in here?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I wonder if she thought, well, I've lived here for 40 years or 50 years or 30 years or however old she was. I wonder if she thought, well, nothing like that's ever happened before here. Oh, we read history, but, you know, anybody can write a history book. It's never happened here before. And when I was thinking about that today, I thought, I wonder if the sirens in Eau Claire, I mean the real ones, really started to blow, and there was really an attack coming on the city of Eau Claire. The bombers were in the sky. We didn't see them. We didn't hear them. But they were on the way. We heard the siren. I wonder how many of us would believe it. I wonder how many people in Eau Claire would just continue in their regular way. We've never had a fire in this church. We're about to put in a fire alarm system. Orders of headquarters. Fire headquarters. I often wonder if a fire alarm went off in this building, how many of us would sit here and say, the circuit failed. It's never happened before. God has never poured fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah before. Oh, Lot, do you think the angels really meant that? Do you think the Bible really means it when it says Jesus Christ is coming again for a people that are living for Him and nobody else? I think that's what it means. And that's why I spend my time preaching this gospel and witnessing on the streets, in the stores, and anywhere I can. I wonder if she thought, it hasn't happened here before. It'll never happen. Or I wonder if she had a love for the world she was asked to leave behind. Like I said, my beautiful drapes, my furniture, my home, my chariot, whatever. Leave it behind? I don't see any fire. I don't see any brimstone. Sky's blue. It's a beautiful day. Sun is coming up in the east. Beautiful sunrise. No, I think you've gone a little overboard, Lot. Let's just, we gotta go. That's when the angel came, took her by the arm. She had unbelief in her heart. She had unbelief in her heart. We know that. And I think God is warning us tonight that we should not listen to the world or take advice from the world. I think the Lord is warning us tonight, telling us that though it has never happened before, it's going to happen. Though it's never happened before in our generation, in our city, it is going to happen. I think the Lord is telling us tonight, love not the world, neither the things in the world. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the reason that she died was because, and the reason she turned around was because her heart was in Sodom while her body was just outside of Sodom. But God caught up with her heart. And I think God is warning us tonight that the angel of the Lord does mean it when He says it. The Word of God does mean it when it says it. But she did not believe it. Just think of these words. Remember Lot's wife. She was almost saved. She was almost saved. She had a lot of other advantages. She had same advantages, I guess. She had a righteous husband. The New Testament tells us that Lot was a righteous man, and he was vexed in his righteous soul by their ungodly deeds that he saw them perform day after day. Lot hated it. You say, why didn't he move? Well, why don't you move? Where are you going to move to? The whole world's wicked. We're going to move. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is a way out, and that way is up. She was almost saved. She had a righteous husband. She had all that influence. But something else influenced her more. She had divine warning. Warning from angels, heavenly visitors, to take her by the hand and lead her out. Listen to me again. She was almost saved, but she was lost. How many are almost saved tonight? How many have had some sort of experience with God, but they have never gone on with God? They have never gone all the way with God. They're somewhere between Sodom and safety. Somewhere between the city of sin and the mountain of safety.
playing around, flirting, longing to go back, and yet knowing that going on is right. She was almost saved, but she was lost. Let me ask you something. If God gives us a righteous companion, if God sends divine warning, if God sends angels to take us by the hand and lead us out of destruction, let me ask you, what more can God do?
Amen. Amen.
No wonder when he beheld the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it. No wonder at another time, he beheld the city of Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and them that are sent unto thee." How often did I try? Over and over again I pled with you. Oh, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen doth her chickens? But you would not. You shook yourself loose from the angelic grip. You shook yourself loose from the hand that was stretched forth to save you.
Yes.
You denied it. You rejected it. You spit on it. You turned it down.
Yes.
What more can God do?
Right.
Shall we stand?
Praise God.